Let's get started. So I will turn this meeting over to Dalia and Mark, and let's take it from there.
Well, Dalia, I think that you've gotten confirmation from Luis and Boyan that they're willing to present. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. Luis did not exactly mention a topic, and he was at, he was.
Leo joining.
Hi, Leo.
Hi, Leo.
Can you join us in the chat, Leo?
Luis was asking for our input on what we would like him to speak on, so maybe we want to follow up with Luis just to nail. I mean, if we're going to get our proposed titles and abstracts pretty soon, we should probably follow up, particularly with Luis, because he didn't say what he would talk about, and he asked if we had any preferences. But other than that, I think that they're willing to be placed anywhere in the order of presentations, or you know, so.
Yeah, so I'd be happy to draft that follow-up letter because I think you all saw, I was suggesting that the speakers cover the thematic scope, describe the thematic scope of their ontology, what axiomatic structures they are exercising in that ontology. You know, in other words, is it just a flat controlled vocabulary, or is it in fact a SCOS? And, you know, if so, you know, are they using just, you know, are related to or what have you? What governance mechanisms they have for developing, revising, curating it, et cetera. And I think that we should add, because I've been thinking about this, that we should also add that they talk about what current or future frameworks are intended to use that ontology. And I want to structure it like this because I would not just like to hear people kind of touting, you know, a set of terms without a little bit more comparable structure between these different presentations. So, you know, I think that those four points kind of give us a lot of good grist for understanding how these different earth science ontologies might relate to one another.
That sounds fantastic. But may I ask a question to both Mark and Dalia? Among the panelists, and of course yourselves as well, who has been sort of surveying the landscape, not just sort of telling us, for example, Luis is telling us what OGC or OGC's ontology is going to be, or Boyan, but someone who has been sort of surveying the landscape and can say, all right, I mean, so far we've got, I mean, in this branch, we've got these five ontologies in this branch of the science, and we've got these three in this branch. I mean, no real ontology is available yet, and so on. Has any one of you or anyone in your panel been doing such research?
That is the task that I had discussed. So, you know, Ben Adams, he doesn't actually have his degree conferred right as of now, but he's basically completely written and critiqued and filed. He just has to defend. He was a student of Martin Rabal, who was a little bit more of a cognitive geospatial computer scientist. And Rabal then moved to a position in Switzerland. And so that's made it difficult for Ben logistically to kind of finalize and get his degree conferred. But he has started as a postdoc on my project here at NCES, and his office now is right outside my office, where a big part of what the Sonnet effort is doing is to try to develop a coherent approach to earth and environmental sciences through semantics using the observational data model. And I don't know how much you guys all know about an observational data model, but, you know, it's basically saying that ontologies – should minimally, if they're going to be used with data, should minimally try to clarify certain key things, like what attributes were measured, what are the units associated with them, what attributes can be associated with what types of entities. You know, so for instance, humidity is something that could be associated with a measurement of something that's atmospheric, but it might not be something that could be associated with something that pertains to, you know, a water body, for instance, and, you know, inside of a water body because it's, you know, that's water. But so Ben and I have talked about the need on Sonnet to do this review of what is the current state of Earth and environmental science ontologies. He's already got a fair bit of familiarity of what's going on with respect to geospatial ontologies, which is different, right, than geoscience stuff and earth science. But he's keen to do that, and it's actually part of his responsibility on my project to do that. But it fits in perfectly with the theme of this upcoming workshop. You know, he presented last time, so you've already heard his presentation style. And Peter, you've suggested that I talk, and
I will definitely look forward to hearing you talk for various reasons besides Ben having already talked. One, we want to talk from you, and I think you can address this at a higher level, and especially since you are co-chairing, I mean, you could sort of summarize. I mean, if our individual panelists are more specific to their own piece, then you could sort of do a wrapper around everything, which would be wonderful.
Yeah, and I basically, Ben and I will work together on it, but you're right that, you know, he's relatively new in this mix of priorities that we have on Ontolog, so I would be happy to actually, you know, kind of, I'm closely interacting with Ben already. We'll jointly develop it. It'll probably be, you know, a Schildhauer-Adams or Adams-Schildhauer presentation, but I'd be happy to give it because I can understand the need, you know, for us to direct this in a way that gives that broader overview based on, you know, our experiences there with EarthCube and past efforts of this sort, like the Data One, Ethics Working Group, etc. And so
that sounds phenomenal.
Okay, so I'll talk to Ben about that. So for now, though, I think we should just keep it an Adams Schildhauer Adams in that one slot, and then we'll hopefully get Thomas on board as well as Luis and Boyan, and I will send that note, follow up note, to Luis and Boyan to clarify, if we're all agreed, what we hope for them to cover in this talk. And again, that was the thematic scope, thematic structure that they use in their ontology, their governance mechanisms, and the current and intended future usage of their framework, their ontology.
That sounds fantastic. If I may suggest, it's probably a good time to start a thread with all the co-chairs and the panelists, so that besides they know your expectation, they also know what the rest of the panel is going to talk about. And with a copy to the mini series to the organizing committee, that way we get it archived and so on.
This is Gary. I came in a little bit late, but I've been on for most of this. I'm not sure how many people are on. Besides Peter and them.
Six people on the call. We've got four on the chat. So Leo and Gary, you might want to join us on the chat.
I actually won't be able to because I'm not where I can get to my computer. But I was wondering if any of the speakers would address the existence and status of vocabularies that people have developed for some of these areas in earth science or ecology. It seems a lot of people in EarthCube are sort of there, having tried to develop, such as in the geo area, vocabularies, and that's sort of one starting point. We've had other people speak about that in the past, another opportunity to have some discussion of that.
But I don't know if you heard, but when I was just describing what Ben and I were going to do, I mentioned that we would be reviewing controlled vocabularies as well as ontologies.
So, okay, I missed the controlled vocabulary part. Okay.
Yeah, I said everything basically just from a flat vocabulary all the way up, because I think you're right. There's a lot of terms out there that are being used in its ways. The two that come to mind, and I would be happy to hear, any volunteers about additional useful things, sort of at least get on the radar. But, you know, I think there's the GCMD, there's the GeoSciML, and there's the CF.
Yeah.
Or that you guys know of and would like to...
Can I interrupt, Mark, just a second?
Sure.
Yeah. Those three things that you mentioned are very, very high level. They're very far removed from the real world. Instead, I think if you were to look at the AGI directory, or the thesaurus for atmospheric science and ocean science, I've looked at those, and collectively, I would estimate that about 40,000 to 50,000 terms. So when we're talking about in ontologies and its application, it's going to get very, very complicated unless groups of people come together to organize these terms, all of them, all 60,000. So there is a hierarchical structure, and people can search, discover, and annotate at some level within the structure. You can't go down drilling so deep and still be able to serve it for the public at large. So those three things that I just mentioned, and I'm going to write it down here, is AGI, the Thesaurus for Atmospheric Science. These are all published.
That sounds like a good one, Krishna. I wasn't aware of it.
No, this is the heart and soul of geoscience ontologies. Everyone starts here. And what people did at NASA in the GCMD, they went up above the atmospheric science and put some mission-specific vocabulary, which is not transferable in a very simple way to the broader atmospheric science. So a lot of GCMD is all missions, NASA mission-specific vocabulary.
Ah, that's ironic, because that's the one,
That's why people haven't used it a lot.
Okay.
Well, I do remember that, I mean, Gary asked if any of our sessions on November 1st will address vocabulary, and I do remember hearing a presentation by Rob just weeks before he passed away, and he was advocating that SWEET be made a standard. And so, any description of the SWEET vocabularies will, and I think just because they were one of the first ones on the scene, I've heard a lot of people debate the SWEET ontologies and vocabularies, but in one way, SWEET is in that gray area or shadow area of being a earth science vocabulary. So.
But the problem, Dalia, is it's too mission specific. It's a NASA vocabulary. And, we tried using it when Rob and I and Peter had a grant together. And it's very, very difficult. That's
yeah.
why we had to leave it and go to AGI and other dictionaries.
Yeah, I agree, and I realize that it is debated, the value or the pros and cons. All I'm saying is that by virtue of the fact that it's one of the better known ones, it has a lot of people have started using them, whether they...
Yeah, we can, yeah, the key point here would be is our ability to link up to suite.
Yeah.
Well, not come down from suite. It gets too complicated.
Do we have anyone that could talk to suite? Because, you know, if it's a major player out there anyway, it's good to hear from somebody, and then we can react to it.
Right. Dalius has already communicated with Thomas Huang, and
we'll be
inviting him.
However, I think Thomas is working just with a subsection. I think he's working with, like, the terrain or something like that. So I'm not sure that we can ask him to speak to the big picture, the big project, but his own research is more narrow than that.
Did Top Quadrant work on any of this? I know they worked on some of the other NASA stuff.
We did not see, this is what I did. We started with Top Quadrant, and they seemed to want to be, they were waiting for for standards to come out. They didn't seem to want to invest a lot unless something was a standard. So, like, for example, they were going to wait for the GeoSparkle standard to be approved and things like that. And all that was fine. In the meantime, we identified predicates, and we did an inventory, a vocabulary of geospatial features and relations and attributes at the topography level. And I do not mean... geomorphology. I don't mean just the shape of the nature of the terrain. I mean the materials that appeared and were validated with 125 years of topographic mapping. They were all validated in the field. So we had we've developed a vocabulary of it's not the surface terrain model. It's more like the what do they call it? It's not a surface elevation model. It's more like a surface terrain model or surface. I can't remember the name, but it's like what LIDAR would pick up. It would pick up everything that's on the Earth's surface. So in that topography, in that sense. So we felt that even just the term topography was semantically ambiguous. And so we've done quite a lot of work on the ontology of of materials you would find on the topographic map, which may seem, you know, quite simple, but in fact, cognitively, we all start with those basic categories. We start with basic categories like river or road or house or something like that. And so they do have, and I'm not saying this because I'm trying to plug our project for Ontolog, I'm not. I'm just explaining that we tried to work with Top Braid, but in the end we had to customize our own work.
Dalia, when you say work with Top Braid, you mean in terms of the knowledge structuring itself you were working with them? Or?
No, actually they will not. Well, if you contract them, they'll help you with modeling practices. But mostly our conversations were limited just to the software. Just to, for example, what predicates would they support? What predicates or properties, just different geospatial needs.
This is assuming you're working in OWL 2 or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that these issues we're discussing are the problem. I mean, this is the problem, and I think Krishna put his finger on it as well, and we can't, you know, not look it in the eye. The problem is that there's this proliferation of terminologies in various structures, whether it's flat files, controlled vocabularies, thesauri, or ontologies with varying levels of expressivity. My personal experience is that when I open up and examine any one, I'll probably find what I consider to be a serious deficit within 15 minutes of almost any given thing I look at, which is a little disappointing here in 2012.
Well, you know, I think what you're talking about would make a great focus for the session. I think, you know, if these, you know, that's a good point, Mark. And instead of like a review, like digging up every single Earth science ontology on Earth, I think if we just look at principles, if we review the principles for Earth Science Ontology, that might be a very valuable contribution.
Yeah, absolutely. That feeds into item number 4 of today's agenda as well.
open up a file that they just uploaded? Can you see it?
Yep.
I would add to what's been said that when we had somebody like Rick Hooper in our second session, he sort of let out with some of the problems, sort of highlighting some of the existing work that he was familiar with and some of the problems. And then we had speakers to some extent or another try to address approaches and low-hanging fruit that might move us in the right direction given the problems that were stated earlier.
Anyway, from a geoscience perspective, I find this diagram pretty interesting because we have a vocabulary and term-based discovery for the five known environments for the Earth. And people can speak to a lot of this thesaurus or dictionary or whatever you want to call it. Exists, and by my looking at these for the geosciences results in over 60,000 terms, and to map those to each other is going to be a very difficult task, and that's where I think SWEET helps, because it is a higher level structure that Rob and I had spoken about, mapping these domain terms to a higher level structure, strictly for discovery.
Yeah, well, that's also, ironically, one of the goals of the SONNET effort, that, you know, it's an NSF interop effort. This very much maps to that, Krishna. What is this from? Is this from a paper or a presentation?
This is in a paper for GSA. It's a special centennial volume coming out next year. And I wrote this paper about not just this, but about treating the Earth as a system.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of just doing a domain, subdomain, subdiscipline ontologies, I'm arguing that we need to develop a Earth system ontology. And if you package those cryosphere, atmosphere, geosphere, and stuff, that is a systems ontology for the Earth, not subdiscipline ontology. So it's a different way to capture where we want to go as scientists. It's the interaction of these, the biosphere with the atmosphere. How do they really work? That's where I miss Rob, because he came from the NASA perspective, which was, you know, where the original Bretherton diagram came from. And so we were going to try and link those and see how effective it was going to be. So
well,
it's just an idea for you to think about. But basically, it's another way to look at how we should be thinking about developing ontology so everyone can participate in it.
Well, I don't see anything here that would go against, I mean, this is kind of a holy grail, you know, figure. Everything that I see here, I would agree with, except for I do see the suite or whatever it is in the mid-level seems a little, you know, it's not linked in, and we have to figure out how that links in to some of the, in my conceptualization, a lot of those mid-level concepts are actually evaluated in terms of the basic concepts in your blue box to the right. So,
yeah, like in a human activity, you know, and biosphere are linked.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that is where I think ontology can help a scientist understand our biosphere and atmosphere work together as a system.
Krishna, first of all, you know, you may not want to yet commit to things such as, you know, SUMO and SWEET, but it might be actually better if we focused on geoscience and provided kind of a map for geoscience, which is like a subject matter map. In other words, you know, people who are interested in particular domains like, you know, volcanic activity, maybe we could actually structure something like that. So, and kind of have a loose relationship between layers so that people understood, you know, well, I'm mostly interested in this subdomain and that subdomain. You know, it's a step towards kind of organizing the space, as opposed to ontologizing.
Yeah, if you say, you know, volcanism or some such phenomena.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, some may be interested, you know, in, you know, aspects that have, let's say, atmospherics that are related to, you know, not subterranean topics, but, you know, something that is otherwise related to earth science.
Oh, no, I agree with you. I'm simply saying what I'm trying to argue for from a science perspective is that we have to be able to link these different environments to understand how the system works. Even volcanism as a phenomena. You know, I just read a paper that was just mind-boggling that the volcanic eruption 200 years ago that took place in Krakatoa in Indonesia, that heated up the entire ocean. And the thermal properties of the ocean have just become, are just recovering. And so the big challenge now is, how does it impact climate change?
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things that people are anxious to address. And I think if we as ontologists or science plus ontology teams can give some guidance, we would be appreciated by a broad community.
Yeah, yes, I agree. So it's good to highlight things that are in the high level or upper foundational ontology, some of the items that are in the mid level, but maybe not commit to like SUMA or SWEET, simply because, you know, people will fight over that, whereas they may not fight over, you know, human activity being at a mid level. And then characterize, you know, if it's possible, you know, this is obviously an ongoing thing. But, you know, you might have something like a layered map of the subject areas involved. You know, think of something like, you know, it's really a subject matter taxonomy as opposed to an ontology, such as Library of Congress, where you put, you know, basically layers of domains or subdomains that encompass earth science, even though the boundaries go into other things very quickly. And then you know, there may be, on any given domain, there may be two things that you're interested in, let's say on par with human anatomy and human physiology. In other words, the processes and the structure, or vice versa, the structure and the processes. Just a suggestion.
No, it's a great suggestion.
Okay, you know, I'd like to stay on topic here, though, because the topic of session four is a review of existing ontologies. So while this is a grand view that may define some of the larger challenges, I think it's a little out of scope for, I mean, this might, what we're talking about here might be, you know, suitable for an entire session to be organized around this issue after we've got the requisite background of what is there now.
Yeah, I agree. It's not session four, so let's focus on that.
I mean, I didn't want to throw cold water on this discussion because I think it's an important one. But
sorry, Mark, all I was trying to say is, accessing what's available, not just within sub-discipline, but a broader, you know, disciplinary approach, see the high level perspective, and then we can see what's below it. That's all.
Yeah, so who do we have currently then scheduled for the session?
Gary, have you not been reading the emails at all? So we have Luis Bermudez, who's from the Marine Metadata and kind of OOI initiative. We have Boyan Broderick, whom you probably know, who's been working on a lot of geo-ontologies. We have Norman Morrison, who is the curator of the environmental ontology coming out of the Oboe Foundry effort. So a lot of the metagenomics community is using the ENVO ontology to annotate the environmental context for their samples. And then we're trying to get Thomas Wang from NASA to talk about SWEET ontologies. And then Ben Adams, who's a postdoc on the SONNET project, and I are going to try to do a broader synthesis that also includes some discussion or at least some, you know, collection of relevant additional geoscience vocabularies ranging from CF and this AGI thesaurus that Krishna has just suggested we should look at and talk about them perhaps from a critical perspective about the reality of there's a lot of terms out there captured in a lot of different frameworks being used by different subcommunities, and you know, mixing them together is going to be a challenge.
Okay, so it sounds like we have our session settled here.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Well, if for some reason Thomas can't make it on that date, then we'll just have, maybe Mark and Ben can consider expanding their presentation or something like that. But
get somebody to talk.
Or another suggestion is that Krishna presents his overview.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The only reason why I would be reluctant to do that here is because it's going to introduce a whole set of issues.
No, definitely. I mean, they're probably going to come up anyways when we talk about the individual domain. So,
I think, for instance, the whole issue about how essential is it that we all have some correspondence to an upper ontology, a foundational ontology, is that necessary or not?
That's not necessarily a topic. It's something that would be introduced, perhaps people have not considered it.
Well, I've been involved with Barry Smith. He's going, you know, we could look at the BAFO ontology. We could look at the SUMO ontology. I mean, I think that whole, you know, how important is the upper foundational? When we're also talking about things that aren't even ontologies, where, you know, this is presuming that we're involved potentially with owl ontologies, whereas Krishna is pointing out there's 50,000 terms that are in a thesaurus. So.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, it's the ontological terminological space. And, it's not going to be settled, even in one session. I'm just suggesting that if there's room, it might be something that could be introduced initially that, you know, will generate some interest and maybe follow-on sessions.
So is this a session – you're suggesting this for session four?
I'm suggesting for session four that we keep the current focus, but if we have room because, you know, somebody drops off or cannot participate, that this might be a good way to introduce this topic of the bigger picture. But, you know, you folks are the organizers, so I'll defer to your judgment.
We're all the organizers. We're jointly. I mean, I think it's an important topic. I think it's one that's so important it can't be just gone to the current lineup of, you know, the task of reviewing existing things. I think it's...
Sure, okay. I mean, you know, so I guess we make a decision.
So how do we do that, Peter?
You and Dahlia do it and tell us. I mean, the decision, I mean. But on Dahlia's point about Thomas Wang, two things. One is he's
intimately associated with Sweet now, so he probably would know, I mean, even if he's not available because of schedule conflict, would know who would be a good substitute. Or if you are worried about his being much more narrowly focused than being in a position to do the overall Sweet presentation, then maybe he can bring in a colleague and do it jointly.
We'll do that. You know, Peter, I think that Dahlia and I will be able to find somebody who can speak authoritatively about Sweet.
Fantastic.
And I think it's an important ontology to be represented and discussed in this review.
Okay, good.
Okay, so I guess the rest of it is I would need titles and abstracts for the entire session as well as for each from each of the speaking slots.
Right.
Very quickly, so that I can start the page and then start advertising the event and so on and so forth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Leaving that discussion on the mail thread on the mailing list would be good because that helps everyone sync up as well as it allows sort of people to contribute if they have suggestions to make.
Mark, would you be willing to follow up with an email about your conceptual approach as well as asking people for titles and abstracts?
I can do that. I'm sorry, you know, I've just been through some. I was on an NSF panel, and I was very sleep deprived for quite a while there. But I'm kind of back on Earth, and I'm happy to. I will follow up with Thomas directly. Dahlia, do you know Thomas yourself?
No, personally? I don't.
Okay, so I'll follow up with him, and I'll also post to the list, CCing our speakers who have accepted the invitation and give them the conceptual framework for what we're trying to achieve with this session.
Sounds great. And as for the logistic stuff, I mean, of course, you have a choice to paraphrase them, or if or they have been captured somewhere in earlier threads, and you could just point people to it for the details. I mean,
what is the deadline, Peter, by which you would like to have the, you know, the formal titles and presentations available?
Like yesterday. I mean, this is for real. Like 2 weeks before, we probably want the session plans, and then maybe a week before, definitely we want all the titles and abstracts, and then 2 days before, we want all the slides.
Okay. Okay.
But there is also a page called the speaker tips or something like that. I don't have the name offhand, but it's on all our session pages. Your speakers, if they're new to Ontolog, would be best advised to read over that page, especially the section on covering what the speaker should look at.
Could you send that link to me?
I would do it right away.
Okay.
This is Gary. One observation and one suggestion, I guess, or question. One observation is that often people can come up with a workable title, the sense of what they're going to cover, and some discussion. But, you know, if we're 2 weeks out or even a week out, sometimes they hold off their thinking. So it seems to me it's okay to put a preliminary abstract out there that might be a little bit more terse and let it evolve as it gets very close. So you can draw people in with a sense of what it's about and then get a more accurate read on it. The other suggestion or question I had is that I think the sequencing of speakers is very important. I wasn't sure if you've given any thought about that, but as you sort of are recruiting the people and finalizing sort of and discussing what the overall theme is and what you see as the important issues, you know, it may become clear what a good sequencing is rather than a preliminary sequence. Obviously, you want to start out with some general notions, but the question is sort of who can advance from the first sort of general overview you're providing and what's the natural progression of talk, and then that involves some discussion with the speakers if they're comfortable of sort of building on what other people have done.
You know what? I'll try to call these guys. I know Boyan and I know Luis. I don't know Thomas, but I can call him. And I know Norman as well. So I'll try to get in some real personal and rapid dialogue with these guys. The problem, I think, is going to be that all these different efforts are sort of largely overlapping, sort of borrowing a little from pieces of one another's stuff. And, you know, this is the big problem, is there isn't any coordination, there aren't any foundational principles, there aren't any well-established design patterns that the community broadly agrees upon in how we should approach this. So you end up with this hodgepodge. I mean, let me, you know, just as an example, on another effort where we were thinking maybe SWEET would be a good candidate for handling a lot of the earth science concepts, within, you know, a day of suggesting that, one of the people looked at it and said, I can't use this SWEET. It's got global climate under as a subclass of average. What the heck is that all about? And, you know, he's right. It's ridiculous that something like global climate is a subclass of average. And not to pick on SWEET, but, you know, SWEET has been, you know, curated, at least by, you know, passionately by one individual for a long time, and yet there are obvious deficiencies. And, you know, you look at the topic area of SWEET, it's going to overlap with the topic area of some of these other vocabularies we're going to hear about. So I don't think, while I like the idea of the sequencing, I don't know how important it's going to be here, because I think there's going to be a 60% overlap and 40%, you know, orthogonal component to anything that we have out on the floor.
I appreciate that. I wanted to point this out because I wasn't sure if that was going to be the case from your perspective too. But even with that, which is my experience also, that these things are sort of in parallel and partially overlapping, it is sometimes the case that somebody like Boyan, I'm not sure, but somebody like Boyan might have some useful critical things to say for other people's work that he might have built on or sort of launched off and things of that nature. So it's always worth considering whether there is that can be said, and that becomes more of a second speaker, a person after another speaker, because they've sort of gone in a different direction in a conscious way or tried to improve on something in some way.
Well, and I would add to that what one thing Boyan does do is he does reference some of the more philosophically based upper level ontologies, and in the two communities that we were merging, the computer scientists and the earth scientists, the one community we did not include are the philosophers of science, and a lot of them would, you know, from what I've read, have good insight into the practice of science, yet are known, yet understand what the centuries of legacy philosophical thinking on what is ontologically real. So someday in the future, it'd be interesting to tie that community in too.
Yeah, I would say that's a future thing. I mean, the last ontolog session, we got a little bit of a dose of that with the sort of cognitive psychology perspective. And, you know, the philosophical perspective adds a whole other dimension to thinking about what is real. Quite frankly, you know, I've actually read a lot of that stuff. Probably most of us have. I'm anxious to just get on with it. What the community really needs now is just some recognition that we don't understand the deep ontological basis for our existence in reality, and yet we can agree what is water and what is air and, you know, what's an igneous rock. And we just need to be sure that we constrain those terms and make them more susceptible to discovery. While the philosophers and the cognitive psychologists, determine whether Pierce's semiotic triangle is valid or not. I mean, that's all good and fine. In the meantime, scientists are taking measurements every day. They're storing them in data sets that we should be able to share and integrate more effectively. And they're modeling higher level structures and processes based on those fundamental observations and measurements. And so,
yet they are putting headings like global warming under measurements or whatever example you mentioned.
Yeah. So there are what I consider some relatively simple ways that we can resolve some of these discussions about what terms do and do not mean and what sort of hierarchies they're embedded in and what are appropriate domains and ranges, et cetera. And so, you know, Dahlia, in the future, if we want to get into the philosophical dimensions, I'll you know, be interested in attending that. But for now, I think we should just try to stay concrete. What's out there?
Mark?
Yeah.
Talking about concrete, this thing that I just sent you guys about plate tectonics is the underpinning for our understanding of how the Earth works.
Uh-huh.
This is a conceptual organization of classes within that concept to which data are attached. And you can take a lot of these. This is the stuff that Rob and Peter Fox and I and about 10 to 12 of the best plate tectonics experts got together, and this is what we came up with. So to make the point very brief, I like your style that we should be delivering something to the practicing scientists now. And where do we start and what's available is number one priority.
Yeah.
Yep. If you look at this diagram, it's just phenomenal. It's got a lot of horsepower within it. And people could use these kinds of infrastructure, is what I would call it, to build other ontologies.
I guess I want to second what Mark said earlier about getting on with things, and that the prior session has sort of set us up for a little bit of that. And indeed, some of the Earth Cube people are coming into this. The Semantics and Ontology Work Group sort of wrote a manifesto that sort of addressed this low-hanging fruit approach, and that a lightweight approach that can be done without getting into philosophical thorny areas.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think certainly for a mini-series, we need to keep a focus like that. Certainly, I'd be interested in addressing the philosophical substrate that Dahlia talked about in some future broader thing, but, you know, it can be, I think the introduction that Mark might make can sort of review some of these focus ideas and sort of scope what we're going to talk about in this session compared to other sessions that might be generated in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is kind of a survey, right? So survey is what's out there, what are people using. We'll leave the philosophical discussions till later.
Great.
I wasn't actually suggesting that we put in the philosophers. I was saying that that's exactly what I was saying. It was in the future. I was not proposing that we bring it into these sessions.
Yeah, it's an important issue because people need to get straight in their own minds what they think these things are, these terminologies and these ontologies. So I think it is important.
I think that Val, you did mention that Boyan sometimes touches on some of that. He might indeed in this session, but it informs his work, and that's nice to know too.
Yeah. Okay. It also arouses discussion. If we start talking about
and almost endless discussion, so
yeah.
The chat window can handle that, I hope.
Okay, we're about 3 minutes.
By the way, when you get a really interesting discussion you don't all have time for, it's a good way of saying, it looks like the community is interested in this, therefore, you know, let's think about organizing something in the future down the road that will sort of take this on in an organized fashion.
Right.
Yes, definitely. Okay, maybe we're near the session at least.
Yes, but we have like 4 different things to talk about, and the session is one of them.
Okay.
Now, maybe very quickly going to the last item for today, which is what as an organizing committee, are we just going to run 5 sessions and
and that's the end of it, or do we have or thoughts about, I mean, what after the five sessions, what would be the follow-up? I mean, I know we don't have a very full representation, but we could start the conversation and then continue it on the mail thread or something. Or we might even have another organizing committee meeting because session five has yet to gel. Session five planning. So,
who are the leaders on session five, Peter?
Nancy Wiegand and Mike Dean.
And they're not on this call.
Neither of them are available. I mean, I was hoping they could be, but I mean, they can't, and because of like Mike's involvement in the defense and intelligence ontology semantic conference, I mean, he's going to be out of pocket a whole week, so we couldn't wait and so I said let's have this one first.
What is the tentative topic?
There is tutorial, so it's getting more and more concrete. Theirs is the last session, and supposedly, if I'm an earth scientist, I started out not even knowing what ontology is, and by the fifth session, someone should tell me what I can do with it, and or get started or something. I guess that's the general plan. Dahlia originally sort of suggested the five session list, so Dahlia, maybe you can tell us what you had in mind then.
Well, all I did was just pull out the keywords from the previous discussion, the previous exchanges via email. There were several statements and ideas popping up between the group, and all I did was identify the keywords.
Well, you did a great job. We all adopted that. That's my interpretation of what tutorial would be. I mean, it's real concrete, hands-on, cookbook-type things, or at least give people provide the ropes for an earth scientist who is now introduced to this whole possibility of using ontologies and tell him or her. What?
I do know one thing that they have discussed is perhaps a GeoSparkle tutorial. Introduction to GeoSparkle is one possibility. Another possibility is sort of something on design patterns to introduce people more to that concept or walk through a few of the basic concepts of that.
Yeah, I think they've already got their session plans sort of somewhere, and it was discussed several times already. But my point, I mean, since they're not here, let's defer that discussion. But as an organizing committee, I would like to solicit thoughts on, I mean, what do we do after five sessions? Say thank you to everyone and go home, or is there something we would want to do, or we sort of move everything back to EarthCube, which was where we started.
Can I make a quick comment here?
Yes, please. I just came
back from the final EarthCube synthesis workshop.
I can't hear you very clearly.
I just got back from Boulder, where I participated in the final workshop synthesizing what EarthCube's future is going to look like. And it is very important that we do something to clarify and strengthen the argument that semantics and ontologies form a very viable infrastructure for the EarthCube as an enterprise. I heard a lot about data grids, high-performance computing, and all the technologies that can be brought to bear on what I have always called as a very, very homogeneous data, satellite, sensor data. But heterogeneous data that most of us generate cannot be done through data grid technologies. We need semantic technology. So I'm requesting that this group think about a mechanism by which that is at the forefront of EarthQ as it evolves to proposal writing stage. So just think about it, folks. It's coming very soon, and I think the semantics community needs to do things like write up of a two-pager and put it on the EarthQ website about how heterogeneity and discovery and access, all these things are underpinned by semantics. Not the definitions, but just how this EarthQ as an enterprise would work. So the bigger picture is the key for getting engaged with however NSF evolves.
So
just to
give,
think about it.
Yeah, to give this mini series sort of proper closure, would, let's say, carving out one speaking slot at the very end of session five for you and Leo to sort of do the overall wrap up. Would that sort of sound good to everyone?
Yeah.
I'd be for it because I made the presentation for the semantics community group there. But every community group that was present, as well as the concept award groups that were present, they had very solid reasons for highlighting why one component of EarthQ deserves significantly more funding and attention than another. How NSF is going to package it together is a whole different story.
To talk to that, Krishna, it'd probably be good to invite the NSF folks to the sessions just so they can sample, you know, what the community's doing here.
Yeah, that actually sounds good. If they are not already exposed to how we've been discussing, sort of doing the discussion, how we have been documenting the discussion, the richness of the discourse, and so on. I mean, bringing them over would be nice.
Yeah, we need to send them, every time we have a meeting, a link to be posted on EarthQ for people to go look at what's going on.
Yeah, we did that for the last session. I think that, Jano did that. We need to make sure that the leadership of NSF is familiar with this too. This next session, session four, in fact, is probably a very strong session to show them what's actually out there in the field.
Yeah. I would note
that I agree.
I posted the announcement of the sessions on the Ning site so people can see it. And also we've made sure that ESIP, it gets out for ESIP folks, but I think talking about sort of whether, you know, what should we do, how should we continue is, my original idea of this, my concept of this is that we wanted to develop the earth scientists as our advocates of this. They should understand enough to be able to argue internally for the need for this.
Yeah.
And that the, you know, essentially we're not done until we get enough of that community understanding what we can add to them.
Yeah.
So they can be the ones, because they're going to get 80% of the funding or so. And the question is how the other part, if it's 20% or whatever it is sort of integrated within their efforts. So I think we should continue with that in mind and therefore recruit a number of these people to sort of be the people who say, these are the issues I want to know more about still. You've made a start on this. And so that should be a driver for the future sessions, I think.
Yeah, I agree. But program management, you know, they're the ones that make the decisions, and sometimes they're the ones that don't participate in these activities.
Right. I think dragging them over, I mean, sending them a link and having them spend 2 hours with the group is two different experiences altogether.
Who would you be inviting?
Krishna probably would know.
Sorry, say that again.
Who would you invite, Krishna?
Oh, Barbara Ransom.
from you're talking about NSF. I was talking about the research scientists themselves in the universities.
Well, let me tell you, NSF right now is running about 10 workshops of principal investigators in all of geosciences directorates that are funded by NSF. They're having workshops as we are speaking right now, where the PIs are getting together and they're posing questions for EarthCube or to EarthCube, that these are my data challenges or whatever concerns they have, how can EarthCube help? And I'm saying when those things get posted on the NINC site, we ought to be able to put a team together to look at the questions that have been asked by practicing scientists and write a document that says, this is how ontologies could help you. And there are hundreds of these things going on in terms of numbers of people participating in the 8 or 9 workshops.
So,
I wanted to make it very, very clear for us, just so that we could be thinking. There's a great deal of discussion going on within NSF that EarthCube has a social component, an engineering component, and a science component. Bridging these is the challenge they face right now. And they think that this governance infrastructure will take care of it. I beg to disagree. I think this is all about communication between scientists and not another infrastructure on top. But be thinking about it, and I'll keep you folks posted as soon as I hear when the first workshop reports are being submitted to NSF.
Well, let me suggest something else to this. If there are 10 workshops going on, we should have a liaison contact in each of them, with each of them. We should find a person in each of those who is interested and would be communicating to us. So it is potentially, if there are 10 different areas, then we would have 10 different sessions. Or maybe we would have 5 and two of each, but we might be able to have address some of their interests.
These are right now just in the EAR division. This is the Solid Earth Science division. There are no workshops going on right now in atmospheres or oceans.
I have
the EAR is the key right now.
Ideally, we would have liked to educate people before they go into their workshops with something that they should know. So, in the fact that things haven't happened yet is okay if we can get to people and say, we'd like to run something that will help you understand what we can contribute. So when they go in there, they might have be our voices. If we're not there, then people aren't hearing it.
Yeah, but the workshops are being run strictly by NSF. They decide how to do it.
Okay, Krishna, I have another suggestion. On the wrap-up that we suggested to carve out for you in Session 5, how about if we say that presentation is made by you and Barbara Ransom, and you drag her...
Barbara or Cliff Jacobs should take maybe 5-10 minutes of their time, and I'd be happy to make the request and tell us how they are envisioning the semantics and ontology community group as enabling some of their plans. I don't think they've gotten to the stage where they are able to understand how each community group or concept award group is going to come together, and that's pretty obvious. It's very difficult. I mean, we saw that at the charrette. You know, the brokering group, you know, needs us to make things happen. So does the workflow group. All these different technology-oriented groups need semantics to tie themselves to EarthCube. We haven't made that case, compelling case, as yet.
Well, you know why I think that is, Krishna? Is that at least in some of those groups, there are people who will say this. When you talk about semantics as something distinct and overarching, they would say, yeah, we'll do semantics. I mean, you talk about, say, Ilya Zaslavsky in the cross-domain interoperability. When we hear that as people who worry about semantics a lot, we think that group is going to need semantics. Ilya's going to say, yeah, of course. We're going to have ontologies. But he's content to do that. He was actually a presenter in one of the earlier ontolog sessions, right? And similarly, you know, the layered architecture, Reagan Moore's going to say, oh, you know, I have people who do semantics. You know, they're going to be the ones responsible for developing the semantic architecture inside the layered architecture. We are not as involved with those groups. I mean, Rahul on the data mining group, right? He's going to say, for sure, we'll have semantics. And yet those folks are just independently doing their thing and not being informed by, a broad overarching vision of how semantics will be promoted inside or standardized even inside of EarthCube, which is what I think is our central concern. And yet we're not as deeply engaged with all these other efforts that are just chugging along, developing their little prototypes. I don't know how
that. You're exactly right. You know, this is very high-level political system at work. This is how federal agencies work. So our job, I think, is to make it very simple for anyone out there to partake of the semantic pie, however they wish to, you know, access it, work with it. I made a very strong case in Boulder that we need a very proactive semantic, you know, organization with its own governance structure that can reach out to people and say, hey, this can help you do what you want to do.
Yeah, and
it's tough.
Krishna, as well, I think that what EarthCube needs is a pragmatic approach as well. So maybe simple means pragmatic, but when we start, you know, as ontolog starts talking about, for instance, the philosophy or cognitive aspects of semantics, or as geosemanticists, we can, you know, debate what is meant by a region or a point of interest for days on end, we're not really, I think, at the sweet spot for participating in EarthCube. We're a little...
I agree.
No, we totally agree. That's why ontolog is ontolog. It's not EarthCube. Just one quick question. Krishna, you said you could invite Barbara Ransom, or who's the other person?
Cliff Jacobs.
Okay.
I believe he has retired. But he's officially shepherding EarthCube to the proposal solicitation stage, which is going to be happening anytime in the next few weeks. And that is a key aspect for the semantics community, not just us, but the broad global semantics community. Is the funding going to be targeted?
Right. Yeah, I remember now. I mean, the NCO had hosted one talk by Cliff Jacobs presenting on EarthCube. Yes. Now, so I captured that into the consensus into the chat. So please review. I'll say we need to let Nancy and Mike Dean know too. We'll carve out the final speaking slot in session 5 for maybe Krishna and Neil to do a conclusion next step piece. And within that, maybe you invite Barbara Ransom or Clifford Jacobs
to
do a 5-minute.
I think the indication is the key.
Yeah.
Even if they don't come, they need to know that we represent a broad community, and their knowledge of such a community at some level would be helpful as to design the request for proposal solicitation.
Yep. Let's try to get them involved at least.
And when was the date for this one, please?
The last session is December 6th.
December 6th?
Yeah.
Isn't that a conflict with AGU?
I beg your pardon?
AGU. You know, the AGU meeting in San Francisco.
I don't know, but are you...
American Geophysical Union?
Yeah.
That's where EarthCube is doing a big show and tell.
So are you suggesting we reschedule that date?
No, I don't know. I will have to check the date. Maybe Dahlia knows. Dahlia, are you going to AGU?
No, I wasn't planning on attending.
Okay.
Can someone look it up very quickly? Because if that's the case, I mean, we better let...
Yeah, hold on. I'm going online right now.
Yes, please.
Give me a second.
Yeah, AGU is that week.
Oh, no.
Did you already check it?
Yeah.
December 3 to 7 in San Francisco.
Okay, that's what I thought. So that's not a good date. So I would request that we push it back our couple of days.
Okay. We'll let Nancy and Mike know and I guess come up with an alternate date then.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yes. Yes. Thanks for bringing that up.
The sooner we decide that, you know, we can also run it by Cliff and Barbara.
Okay, that's about it. Anything else?
We covered a lot of ground today.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you all.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Great meeting. Thanks.
All right. Talk to you all later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yep, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.